Hey everybody, this is Pierre Quinn and you're listening to episode number 86 of the Leading Wild Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode of the podcast, I'm reaching back into the archives one more time and I'm bringing out a big chunk of one of my keynotes on giving the world the best version of you. Now, my audience for this keynote was court professionals, but the insights and tips that I share can work for leaders across all disciplines. You might be driving now, but when you have a chance and you listen to it the second time, be sure to do it with a pencil and a piece of paper so you can jot down all the good stuff. All right, listen up. Thank you again to everyone who supports the Leading Wild Green podcast, for everyone who has hopped over to Apple Podcasts and left a 5-star review and some comments, for everyone who has shared it on social media. You've let people know and it's making a difference. And I thank you so much for your support of this podcast. We're growing. We're continuing to grow. We're continuing to increase listenership because of you. And I want to thank you. Now, if you haven't hopped over to Apple Podcasts and left a 5-star review and some comments, there's still time. Share this episode on social media or go through the archives and find your favorite episode and let people know what you gained from that episode. The more you do that, the more we can share this message of effective leadership around the world. And we literally have listeners from around the world. Okay, so before I jump into a snippet from one of my keynotes, I want to encourage you to hop over to prccoin.com and check out my free course, 12 Ways to Grow as a Leader. Got some great stuff on there. It's material that I use when I talk to leadership teams across the country, and I'm giving it to you for free. Some good video content, practical, actionable stuff that you can use to grow your leadership and to grow your team. So check that out. Also have my signature course, the Leading Wild Green Signature Course, which is a companion to my Leading Wild Green book, which you can check out on Amazon. But you really want to check out the course that goes along with the book. And it's really a supercharged jump start. And even if you feel like your leadership is dying off, it's a good way to breathe new life and new energy into your leadership. So check that out also at prcquinn.com. Okay, so not too long ago, I had a chance to address some court leaders at their conference. And I was doing a plenary session on leadership and being the best version of yourself. And sometimes it's tough in a court profession, in the court industry, where people can sometimes bring out the not so nice part of you. But I challenge the listeners to always work to be the best version of themselves, no matter what's going on around them. And it's the same challenge that I have for you. Be the best version of yourself, no matter what's going on around you. So here's a good chunk, almost half of my keynote from that presentation about being the best version of yourself. Listen up.
I took some time and did some research, and I wanted to develop a comprehensive list of things that children fight over. Everything. My two girls fight over just about everything. Two children, there's an old toy box. No one has played with these toys for 3 years. The teddy bear might have mold on it. It's been in the garage for so long. And one child will get the teddy bear and the other one will say, well, it was mine first. And they want it just because the other child has it. Have you ever seen two children argue over a crumpled up piece of paper? Two children arguing over a broken crayon. Arguing over, he looked at me. She's breathing too hard. And you say things, you say strange things as a parent that you don't really mean, but they sound good because your parent said them to you. If you don't stop arguing back there, I'm gonna turn this car around. You're driving around across the country. You're not turning the car around to nothing. But it sounds threatening and it sounds menacing and it works when they're younger, maybe, but as they get older, they realize it's just an empty threat. Because when your kids are in conflict, what they need the most is justice. Now, they may have different interpretations of what justice actually is. But what they need is justice. They need you to be fair. They need you to have a sense of equality. They need you to be good. And sometimes those are the most difficult moments. Have you ever seen two kids fight over a digital device? Two kids fight over an iPad? Two kids fight over a fidget spinner? It's dangerous, because sometimes my girls go to their rooms and you'll hear the argument and then it gets quiet. And then you're worried because somebody hit somebody. Somebody's in the corner crying, or someone's planning a way to get back at somebody. And there are sometimes moments where my children yell for my name. They yell, they cry out, "Daddy," and they want me to step in the middle of their conflict and make everything okay. But here's what I found. When I'm not at my best, I usually only do what's good for one child. I don't do what's good for all. So it's this idea of core competencies. Reading over your materials. It's this idea in the court administrator to help court administrators become court leaders. And this leadership conversation really crosses over multiple disciplines, because we want everyone to be at their absolute best and training and equipping and inspiring other people. That's really why you came here. You didn't really come here for a couple of days vacation. You didn't really come here to get away from your family. Well, some of you did, but hopefully in the time that you're getting away from your family, you're actually developing the tools that you need to become better leaders and better administrators. Hopefully that's the whole point of you being here and spending thousands of dollars, or your courts spending thousands of dollars, of being in a nice hotel and coming up to these events and getting all dressed up, because you're supposed to leave here as better leaders. And I'm learning that I can experience justice in my home if I'm encouraging my daughters to be better leaders. So what's your job? Reading up, this is what I found. We're trying to cultivate people who understand what it means to demonstrate capacity in all aspects of court administration. So these core principles, these core ideas, this core, has a little registered trademark by it in the manual, this core, principles, practices, and vision. This core of principles, practices, and vision. Principles are what you should know. The fundamental ideas or concepts of your job, that's what principles are. Practices are what you should do. And we all know there's a huge difference between what you know sometimes and what you do. We see this with our children, and we say crazy things like, "Don't you know better?" Yeah. Well, if you know better, then why don't you do better? And sometimes there's this huge gulf, there's this huge chasm between what I know and what I do. And then vision is, what do I see? So the core of being a court administrator, the core of being a court leader, demands that you know something, that you do something, and that you see something. So effective court leadership, and I crossed out court because it's across disciplines. Effective leadership requires that you know, requires that you do, and requires that you see. And you can ask yourself, in what areas of my life and what areas of my career do I need to know a little more? In what areas of my career am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? In what areas of my career am I not seeing what I'm supposed to be saying? After I leave the conference here, I'm going back to these two faces. I've already talked to them today, and they asked me, "Dad, when are you coming home?" And I know what they mean by that. They want something. But usually when I go on trips, when I travel and I speak, my wife will call me and she will tell me, "The girls are fighting again. The girls have an issue. I'm frustrated. Can you deal with this when you come home?" And I say, "Okay. Now I'm tired. I've been gone all day. Sometimes I go to conferences and I'm there for 2 or 3 days. And I get home, I get off the plane, I get to the house, and the children are they're waiting for me. They're standing there, ready to tell me their side of the story, ready to manipulate the story so it puts themselves in the best possible light. And daddy was not me at all, it was her. They're waiting for me. But what I found, anybody have that feeling? I saw a couple of heads in the back say, yeah. What I found is when I'm not at my best, justice never gets served. When I'm not at my best, someone always comes up short. And it's usually in three key areas. When I'm not at my best, I forget what I'm supposed to know. When I'm not at my best, I forget what I'm supposed to know. Or maybe it's not that I forget it. It's because I'm not at my best, I refuse to access it. How many times have you been at work and you've had a rough day or a bad day and you let something pass that you know shouldn't have passed? You knew what to do, but you were tired, you were frustrated, you were annoyed, and you just let something slip through your fingers only a couple of weeks later for it to come back. And you have to deal with it again. When I'm not at my best, I don't do what I'm supposed to do. When I'm not at my best, the rules and parameters, the laws that I created in my family, Daddy, can we have cake? It's 9:30. It's 10 o'clock. You should be in bed. Okay, who cares? Whatever. When I'm not at my best, I don't do what I'm supposed to do. In those moments, my children don't need a friend. They need a parent. But when I'm not at my best, I don't always do the right thing. And when I'm not at my best, I can't see what I'm supposed to see. My vision is cloudy and I struggle. But it's not just the analogy of parenting. It's the job you go to every single day. Some of us are not at our best because we're tired. Anybody in here ever been tired? And I know they set you guys up and I apologize. They put you in a cold room with slightly dim lights after a long day, and you're coming down off that high of this morning. I know what it means to be tired. Some of you have traveled from far. You've been up early this morning. You've experienced the conference and all of its glory, and you have multiple days left, and you're thinking about going home. And thinking about going home is making you tired because you know what you got to go home to. I know what it means to be tired, but maybe you're tired because you haven't learned to share. Have you ever considered the fact that maybe you're tired because you haven't learned to share? Well, Quinn, what do you mean by that? I mean, some of us have such an achiever complex that we feel confident doing every single thing ourselves. We're tired not because we have to be. We're tired because we make ourselves that way. We want everybody to look at us and know that the project only survived because we did it. We will burn the candle on both ends and in the middle just for someone to say in the meeting, oh, look at what Quinn did. He really muscled that thing. And we seek for that affirmation. And what we don't know is actually we're limiting the capacity of the people around us by not sharing. Because what great leaders do, great leaders begin to grow other leaders around them. Great leaders find people to invest in. Great leaders give other people responsibilities. And do you know that the more you empower other people, it actually makes you a better leader? Are you just okay with being just a good leader? Anybody in here juggle? I thought about YouTubing how to juggle, and that would have been an awesome part of the presentation, but I didn't watch the YouTube video, so I just put a picture up. If you're around people that juggle, it's always fascinating to watch them and their concentration and throwing items to them as they juggle. But some jugglers will tell you it will get to a point where they are beyond their capacity to juggle. Some of us are juggling and we are beyond our capacity. And if we just shared a little bit, life would be much different. How do I make this work with my kids? I don't make all the decisions. That's like my parenting tip. I don't make all the decisions. I sit them down and I watch them agonize as they try to figure out what's the best thing to do for both of them. But what I'm teaching them is conflict resolution. I'm teaching them decision making. I'm teaching them how to get along. Sometimes in order for you to survive and be the best version of yourself, justice demands that you share some of your responsibilities. Justice demands that you look around the court system, that you look in your particular area of the world and begin to identify individuals who just need an extra chance, an extra boost, an extra talking to, so they can be the competent administrator that you've been for the past 25 years. And maybe then you won't be so tired. So what are the things that only you can do? When you think about your career, when you think about your job, what are the things that only you can do? And those are the things that you should do. But some of us are jaded by the stuff that we like to do that we shouldn't. There are tons of things when you look at your portfolio of responsibilities, there are things on your plate that other people can do if you would just give them a chance. And truthfully, in some cases, you're not as good at those things as they are. So if you're making all the decisions, if you're answering all the questions, if you're solving all the problems, you're probably not doing a very good job of being a leader. And if you were to share, maybe you wouldn't be so tired. I get it. Maybe you can't be the best version of yourself because you're wrestling with hunger. Anybody hungry in here? I saw some of you snacking, so I know you're hungry. I'm just mad you didn't share with me. Some of us are hungry, and do you know, and many of you who work long hours or even work through lunch, do you know that when you're hungry, you take shortcuts? And you pack your lunch, and you think, okay, I'm going to have time to eat today, but then something comes up, because things always come up, and you can't eat what you plan to eat, so then you just eat anything. Some of you are saying like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm looking for the vending machine. I'm looking for the gas station. I just want something quick. And here's the thing about hunger. If you fill up on the wrong thing, then you can't enjoy what you're supposed to have. You ever go out to eat or you're going out to eat and you have a candy bar or a honey bun or something in the car just to tide you over? Some of you are very health conscious and you got very offended when I said candy bar. I'm sorry. But there are some of us who eat candy bars. You're on your way and you're so famished and I gotta have this Snickers before I get to the restaurant and it'll be okay. And then by the time you get to the restaurant, you're walking away with a doggy bag, a carryout container, because you couldn't eat your food because you filled up on the wrong thing. So here's the question. Do you still have a hunger for justice? Or have you filled up on the wrong thing in your life? Have you filled up on the issues in the court system? Have you filled up on knowing everybody's business, the people that you work with? Have you filled up on reality television? What have you filled up on that's robbing you of your hunger for justice? Because that's why you picked this career in the first place. You said, I want to make a difference in people's lives. And like I told the group earlier, if that's not your mission, you need to find a different job. If you don't wake up every day with a hunger for justice and a hunger to make a difference in someone's life and a hunger to make somebody change their lives, you're in the wrong profession. But even if you still have a little bit of that hunger, stop letting other things rob you of that hunger. Listen, everybody's crazy that you work with. And here's a newsflash. You're crazy too. But don't let the craziness of the environment rob you from the opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. There's always going to be problems. There will always be policies that don't make sense. There will always be people on the bench who are not so nice. But don't let that rob you of your hunger for justice. Some of you are not at your best because you're tired. You need to share. Some of you are not at your best because you've lost your hunger for justice. And you need to return to filling up on the right thing. Some of you are not at your best because you're stressed. Anybody ever been stressed before? This is what Simon Sinek says. He says, working hard for something you don't care about is stress. Working hard for something you love is called passion. Maybe you lost your passion. Maybe you've lost the reason why. And when you lost the reason why, you respond negatively when you see that frustrated parent. You respond negatively when you see the scared little kid. When you lost your passion, then the people who are serviced by the courts become an annoyance. They become just another set of cases for you to get through that day. Just they become the barrier between you and getting home. When you've lost your passion, people are no longer people. They're problems. So maybe you just need to rediscover why you picked this job in the first place. When's the last time you took a step back and you replayed in your mind the stories of the people you were able to help? You replayed in your mind the stories of the families that were able to be reunited. You replayed in your mind the story of an individual who was struggling and they were coming through the court system, but they sent you a picture of their high school graduation. They sent you a picture of their wife and their children and their family, and now they have a career on their own, and a tear streams down your face because you remember where they came from. You remember the agony. You remember the pleading with them to change their life and turn it around. And they were one of the handful of individuals who actually took you up on that offer. When your days are the worst, that's what you need to remember the most. When you get up and you go to work, when you step into those halls, when you're dealing with the irritations, when you're dealing with the frustrations, maybe you wouldn't be so stressed if it wasn't a job and it returned to being a passion. I was reading the story of Jorge Navarrete, the first Latino clerk administrator at the Supreme Court level. I was reading about his story, coming from Mexico, joining the army here, being promoted a few times, honorable discharge, and then starting his career in clerk administration, in court administration. And now having the responsibility of being a court administrator in the highest court in the land in our U.S. context. How many times can he afford to have a bad day? How many times can he afford to not be at his best? And how is it that the principles, practices, and vision of his life actually led to these opportunities? Because principles is what you know. Principles are what you know. Practices are what you're supposed to do. And vision is what you're supposed to see. You don't get to be an administrator of the highest court in the land in the U.S. context without knowing what you're supposed to know. You don't get that job without doing what you're supposed to do. You don't get that job without seeing what you're supposed to see. And if good leadership is about knowing and about doing and about seeing, then all of us have an opportunity to be good leaders. Think about those words again. Excellence, high quality, world class. And think about going from here and having those be the characteristics of your professional life. I've come a long way since that U-Haul. A mighty long way since that U-Haul. Since the conversation with my father of asking him, what do you want from me? And his response being, well, what do you want for yourself, from yourself? That was a terrible year that I quit school. found odd end jobs here and there. And eventually, after about a year or so, I came back to school with a renewed sense of passion. I came back to school and I actually figured out what I was supposed to know. And life was completely different once I accepted what I was supposed to know. I came back to school and I actually did what I was supposed to do. It's not a novel idea, but it's amazing when people latch on to it. I came back to school and I started seeing what I was supposed to see. And I started challenging myself because I was not asking my father, what do you want from me? I was asking myself every single day, what do you want from yourself? It's different when somebody else asks you the question versus when you ask yourself. There's a different level of accountability that takes place. There's a different level of intentionality that takes place. And you've asked this question to some of the people that you work with. I know what the courts want from you. I know what your parents want from you. I know what your school wants from you. I know what your children want from you. The question is, though, what do you want for yourself? And if you're going to experience justice in your life, you're going to have to come up with the answer to that question. So what will you take back with you? Because eventually, conferences do come to an end. Eventually, you can only take so much free stuff home. I mean, you got the pens and you got lanyards and you got sticky pads and you got paper clips. And some of you are not even going to use half of this stuff when you go home, but they were given away for free and you just wanted to have it. What are you going to take back with you? Beyond the programs, beyond the business cards, beyond the selfies I saw some of you taking in the hallway. What are you going to take back with you? Besides the fun you'll have at the reception, besides the inspiring conversations, besides the pity parties that some of you had because you know your job is tough and you had a pity party moment with somebody and then you shook it off. Besides those things, what are you going to take back with you? What was the point of coming to this event? And some of you are seasoned veterans and some of you, this is your first time. But what was the point? What was the idea behind it? No matter what you take, my hope and my wish for you is that you take home the best version of yourself. Understand the world is waiting for you when you get off the plane. The world is waiting for you when you get off the bus. When you return that nice rental car and get in your old car and drive to your house, the world is waiting for you. And here's what can happen a lot of times. We come to events like this and we say we want to make change and we say we're going to be committed and we say we want to make a difference. And all the stuff that we've learned and all the notes that we've taken and all the experiences that we've had, we take those things back with our same old selves and nothing changes. We don't help any more people than we helped before we left. We don't make any more difference in people's lives than we made before we left. We don't make any bigger difference than we made before we left because we're going back with the same version of ourselves. But here's what I'm learning about justice. Here's what I'm learning about fairness. Here's what I'm learning about equality. It's not just for the people that we service in the courts. It's also for us. And if you go home to administer justice and you're not taking the best of you back, you're actually creating an injustice. Because what justice demands is the best of you. And my hope, my wish, and even my prayer is that you give justice what she asks for. Thank you.
I get goosebumps all over again when I think about giving that presentation. Had a great day sharing those principles on what it means to give the world the best version of yourself. I want to encourage you to listen to it again. This time, take some good notes and share those notes. Share this episode of the podcast with someone else, with the leaders you know that really, really, really need to hear it. And if you need somebody to come and talk to your team face to face about these principles, I would be happy to do that. Hop over to prcquinn.com and check out how you can get me to come and speak to your group. Well, you know, it's my mission to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. And that's all I have for this episode of the podcast. So until next time, take care and God bless.